Bibles and open up to Mark chapter 10. We're going to be there for the majority of our time tonight. So often we almost take it for granted to be able to come together and worship. Seems like it almost takes a time where we get sick or ill and can't come for a while to really appreciate the time that we get together. So I hope we always appreciate our time together to get to worship God as a body and to get to sing praises to Him and get to learn as well. Last week, whenever we started this series on Would You Stop? We realized you can use that phrase of terminology in many different ways. You can be really annoyed at somebody and say, would you stop? You can also have a time where it's a time of determination, a time to move forward and ask ourselves the question, would we stop or would we keep going? Last Sunday night, we looked at the thought of, would we stop in light of having Jesus as our master? Whenever there's parts about us that don't need to continue, would we stop to honor Him and to humble ourselves before Him? Tonight I want to take it in a little bit different turn. Tonight I want us to see it in light of when you see someone who has a need, someone of faith, and you have the ability to help, would you stop? I want you to think about that question as we go through these verses tonight. The story here is about a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Bar is kind of the terminology of the time for son of. That's why it says Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He's a blind beggar. In other words, that's how he gains money. He sits there and he begs. And that's how you're introduced to him in the story. Notice how it begins, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, they being the 12 and Jesus, if you read the verses before. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. It doesn't tell you anything about what happened in the city of Jericho. It just tells you, here's the 12 with Jesus, they come into Jericho, and now they're leaving Jericho, and his disciples are with Jesus, and there's a large crowd with him. And as they're leaving the town of Jericho, they notice a man, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And he is simply sitting beside the road. Verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In other gospel accounts, it says that he heard there's kind of a crowd going by and he actually inquired, what was going on? Keep in mind, he can't see it, but he can still hear. And whenever he inquires, they tell him what's going on. They say, Jesus the Nazarene is walking by. But if you notice it here, he says, he heard that it's Jesus the Nazarene, and he begins to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice what's already going on inside of him. He knows something more than just this is Jesus the Nazarene. He says, this is the Son of David. Have mercy on me. Hold back from me what I deserve. That's what mercy is. Then verse 48. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. That is about the most polite way that you can phrase those words. Sternly telling him to be quiet. When your kids get really rambunctious, do you sternly tell them to be quiet? It's not usually the way we think about saying it. We think, in another term, would you stop it? Stop it. Shut up. That's the terminology that they were probably using in some way, shape, form in their language. They sternly warned him, telling him to be quiet. But notice what goes on inside of Bartimaeus. But he kept calling out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He kind of kicks it into another gear. He says, you want me to be quiet? I'm not going to shut up. And he lets it rip at whatever level he could. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Consider the facts here. He's a blind beggar. Apparently he's heard something about Jesus. What exactly, we don't know. They tell him, be quiet. He screams it even louder. Then notice verse 49. And Jesus stopped. Jesus puts on the brakes. He's called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then when he's told to be quiet, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. I want you to just think about it for a moment. What caught Jesus' ear? What caught the attention of Jesus that it's time to stop? A different question. Would you stop? In hearing this blind beggar call out, would that have been enough for you to say, this is worthy to stop for? Maybe you think of it in a different way. Jesus is part of a big crowd. They're leaving town. They got someplace they're headed. And to stop this whole crowd on behalf of this blind beggar named Bartimaeus. In your own mind, what's your rule of thumb for would you stop? What has to happen for you to be willing in your life to stop what you're doing and be attentive to someone else? What's the barometer that you use in your own life? I venture to say nobody in here has been sheltered from ever seeing a beggar. How do we look at these things? How did Jesus look at them? We'll answer some of these questions as we go along. Notice how verse 49 continues. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Now notice, Jesus just calls out. He says, call him here. And some of those that were with him went and talked to him. I don't know if it was the same people who were telling him to sternly be quiet, but somebody went and told him. Then, they talk to the blind man and they say, take courage, stand up, he's calling for you. He's asking for you. Stand up. Come on. He wants to talk to you. Verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. He throws aside his cloak, he jumps up off the ground, and he comes to Jesus. That seem a little odd to you? How a blind man could jump up and find Jesus where he was? Then, verse 51. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Let's kind of step out of the story for a second. Can you imagine Jesus asking you that question? What do you want me to do for you? What would you ask? What would be your request? It's just kind of a unique question, isn't it? Think Jesus asking you in your life where you are, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus' possibilities are endless. What is he held back from doing? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Here he is, a blind beggar. He can't even see Jesus. And what he hears is, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. Rabboni, I want to be like you. I want you to be my teacher. I want to follow you. I want to be you. I want to be like you. He says, I want to see. I want to regain my sight. Notice how Jesus responds, verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. He gives him his sight back. That's no problem. But I want you to see what's at work in this man. I want you to see what Jesus was paying attention to in Bartimaeus. He says, go. Your faith has made you well. Who made him well? Jesus. What made him well? Faith. I want you to notice where that faith took him. Whenever he's made well, he doesn't say, well, I got my eyesight back and I'm off on my own now. Now he sees Jesus, and his next move is, I'm going to follow you. I'm going with you. I want you to think of it this way. Whenever we see others who are in need, how are we going to imitate Jesus? What's Jesus really telling us in this story? He was paying attention and looking for faith. What was the rule of thumb that Jesus was looking for? He was listening for faith. That's what made him go from just walking on out of Jericho to stopping this whole crowd to attend to a man that others were telling him, just be quiet. Nobody else is going to pay any attention to Bartimaeus. But Jesus did. Because his ears were attentive, listening for faith. Do we want to know how to handle people who beg? Do we want to know how to imitate Jesus and how we do it? Because if we imitate Jesus, will we be wrong? Or will we stand with him and do what's right? I want you to go back and I want to look through this story again. But I want us to look at the questions that are really being answered. Why did Jesus stop? He heard faith. Whenever you hear people who are looking for handouts, what are you listening for? You're just looking for people with needs? You can find those any old place you go. But are we listening for faith? Did you hear faith? As we went through the story, look back at verse 47. See if you can hear the faith. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This man doesn't think I'm just any old man. He recognizes, even though he can't see it with his own two eyes, that I am the descendant of David. That's not just a shot in the dark. He has faith that Jesus can change his situation. And even whenever he's met with opposition, be quiet. Sternly told to be quiet. He cranks it up another notch, and now he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus is listening for faith. And Jesus stops. He stops. Now, I want you to notice the next question here. Did Jesus have the ability to help? Of course he did. Are there opportunities in our lives where we have the ability to help? Now, we say, well, I can't make blind men see. But there are opportunities we have that we can help with. The question is, are we looking and listening for faith? Look at the next aspect of the story. Verse 49, when Jesus stops, he tells those who are around him, call him here. Did Jesus do everything for this blind beggar? Did he say, all right, no responsibility on you, I'll take care of everything? He doesn't, does he? He says, call him here. And I want you to notice, They come, in verse 49, they called the blind man, saying, "Take courage, stand up, he's calling for you." Verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. How did he do that? I don't know. But faith moved him. Seems at times, whenever we see somebody who's in need, we want to jump in and do everything for them. That is not the imitation of Jesus. What we're doing is snuffing out the possibility of faith growing. Because we're saying, "Don't worry, I'll do it all for you." As opposed to, you've got to respond out of faith to Jesus. There's got to be a move that comes. And notice Jesus listening for faith, attentive for faith, and going to let faith respond. Now, here he comes up to Jesus. He finds his way right before him, however he did it. And now Jesus asks the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" He doesn't say, "You know, I can read your mind. I know what you want." He says, "What do you want?" Sometimes we jump in way too fast trying to anticipate troubles. And we rob others of the possibility of growing and refining faith. This is how Jesus did it. Is that good enough for us? Or do we not really want to listen to him? The blind man says, "Rabbi, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well." Because when it's all said and done, to supply somebody's monetary need doesn't help their soul. It doesn't change eternity. It doesn't change their relationship with God until faith is part of this. We could waste every dollar we have and supply a lot of people with a lot of things. But if it never brings around a faithful relationship, then what's the real value? I'm not saying we can't help people without faith. Sometimes it's hard to listen and to hear. It actually takes conversations. It takes time together. But realize this, if we're going to imitate Jesus, we've got to be people who are attentive to listen for faith. We can't just jump in and do it all. It'll have no value. So when you consider the thought, what made Jesus stop? Here's a person of faith calling out. And he stopped the whole crowd of them, including his own 12, to pay attention to this one blind beggar. And he was attentive to his faith. He didn't do it all for him. He says, "What do you want?" And whenever he cries out to continue out of faith, "Rabbi, I want to regain my sight. I trust that you have the ability to change what I can see." He says, "Go, your faith has made you well." And all of a sudden you find him following Jesus. You don't always know going in, is this going to end up with somebody who will actually follow Jesus? I don't know. It's near impossible for us to read on our own. But if we're not listening for faith, we're not really imitating Jesus. Also know that Jesus cared for people who didn't show faith. He wanted to bring them to faith. He wanted to bring them to this relationship and to enjoy the relationship. So whenever you look at the question, when you see somebody who's in need, would you stop we're going to imitate Jesus, we have to be listening for faith. Look over at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse 16. I want you to notice, if you follow the masses, you won't see the opportunities. Whole crowd walked right on by. They didn't stop. They didn't care. If we're looking to follow the lead of the majority, we'll miss opportunities. But I want you to notice here, 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He says, this is how we came to know what real love is. This is that agape love. It's that sacrificial love. He says, this is how we came to know it. Jesus laid down His physical life so that we could be given spiritual life. He laid down the physical so that we could have the spiritual. Notice verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Jesus laid down His physical life so that we could have spiritual life. Will we lay down physical goods for the benefit of our spiritual brethren? If you notice the question, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, brothers and sisters work off of faith. He says, they're working off of faith. You see the need and you have the goods to help. Let's put it in terms of the story read in Mark chapter 10. Did Jesus have the ability to help the blind man see? He sure did. Do we have at times the ability to help with physical goods for someone else? There are times when we do. There are some times where we don't. Not every moment is the same. But notice the situation in verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods, whenever you hear world's goods, what do you think of? Maybe the first one you think of is money. You know there's more than that for world's goods? Maybe you see someone who has a need. Maybe they burn wood for heat during the winter. Maybe you see they have a need and you have plenty of trees. What do you tell them? All right, I'll cut all the wood for you and I'll bring it to your house. Does that give them the opportunity? Or do you say, if you ever need more wood, come on over? And then when they show up at the house, then you step out there with them and help. Or do we just want to give everything? The world's goods. This world has time. Sometimes there are brothers and sisters in need, and it's just time that's needed. Just a few moments to let them know how much they mean because of their faith in the Lord. Got the world's goods. See a brother in need, but then close our heart. I'm not going to stop. It doesn't mean that much to me. I'm not concerned about looking for faith. There's a heart that's closed. If you notice how it continues, he says, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? How? If we sit on the other side of this story and say, yeah, I saw the need and yeah, I had the ability to help, but I just didn't want to. Does the love of God abide there? A love that sacrifices. A love that's like Jesus' love where He lays down His physical life so that we could have spiritual life. Is that really what love is? To see opportunities even here among us? To have the ability to help? And to close our heart. Look at verse 18. Little children, infants in faith, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We want to say we love, then that old heart just closes on down whenever there's an opportunity and we have the ability. John, the same John that saw Bartimaeus receive his sight, the same John that got to see Bartimaeus get up and come with them out of Jericho, he says, there's no way Jesus looks at Bartimaeus and closes his heart. Jesus doesn't tell him, I love you, but you're going to be blind for the rest of your life. He says, no. Jesus is not going to love just in word and with His tongue. He's going to love in deed and in truth. And what happens when there's love that's in deed and truth? It encourages faith. Even among those who already have a small faith. Even a faith the size of a mustard seed. Watch it be refined and grow. We need to be a people that are like Jesus. That have ears that are attentive for faith. And when you see a need, to be able to help in a way that is loving, that is kind and encouraging for their faith, and to not belittle them and to look down on them. But to love, not with just word and with our tongue, but in the actions that we take and the motives that are behind it that are pure and true. And to be just like Jesus. What does it take for you to stop? What do you have to notice for you to stop? If you haven't thought about it, then you need to. We need to learn how to imitate Jesus better. We need to walk with Him and to help encourage faith among one another.